Well, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This is from Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of experiencing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Then these next few verses are so powerful. That I may know him, or experience him, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the out-resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect or mature, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having apprehended it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Every believer has been included into this upward call of God, this prize that he talks about. This last verse, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The prize being the upward call of God that every one of us who are in Christ have. That upward call of God is in verse 11. He says, in order that I may attain, it's a real unique word. The only place in the New Testament where it's used is literally the word out resurrection from the dead. And what he's talking about here, because he's later talks about going after, laying hold of, he's not talking about the resurrection of his body one day. That's already his in Christ promised. He's talking about that I may know the resurrected life of Christ being fully lived out through me. That's our heritage. That's what we all have inherited in Christ. That's the upward call, the prize, Christ-likeness. That's what it says in Romans chapter 8 when he said, this is God's purpose for us, that we'd be conformed to the image of his Son. And we're conformed to the image of his Son, not by imitation, but by participation in the very life of Christ, the risen life of Christ, and the manifestation of that life. So the out-resurrection of the dead, Paul said, what I'm going after in this life, and he uses terms, he said, I haven't obtained it yet, but what I'm going after, what I'm pressing, he uses these words, I'm pressing on, I'm apprehending, I like the way the King James says, I'm apprehending that for which I've been apprehended. This is for which I've been apprehended. That I may manifest his resurrection life fully. I'm laying hold, I'm apprehending, pressing on, laying hold, reaching forward, pressing on, going after a goal. Those are a lot of strong statements that Paul said, this is what I've committed my life to, that I want to experience as much as I possibly can the life of the risen Christ being released and lived out through me. And it was interesting, I was praying that for myself this morning, and that's when the Lord reminded me of these scriptures. So I wasn't really sure when I was supposed to share them, and then I'm too sanguine to put it off to another day. And I don't get another shot at it tomorrow, Friday, and Sunday's like forever. But look what he says in verse 10. This is kind of like, what does that look like? I mean, what are we going after? What are we praying into specifically? That's the general thing. That I would know the resurrection life of Christ being lived out through me in fullness, and I'm pressing after that. I'm apprehending that. I'm reaching forward to that. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm forgetting everything that lies behind. Because, see, the deal is you can't be pulled in this direction and be reaching out in this direction. It's impossibility. It's spiritually, gravitationally impossible. So you have to forget what lies behind, either what you've experienced or even your failures. You can't be being pulled back to your failure and going after this. Now, this is in the scripture. So you have permission to forget what lies behind. With me? But he said, this is what I want to know. The word know in verse 10 is this is what I want to experience. This is what specifically we're talking about. That I would experience him. He said, I want to know his presence intimately. More and more and more. We're called into relationship. Christianity is not a formula. It's not something you can memorize. It's a person. He said, I want to know him. I want to experience his presence. And then the second thing he says is, I want to experience his power, the power of his resurrection. He said, I want Christ, I want to see and experience the power of Christ being manifested in my life over the power of sin and manifested through my life over the power of Satan. He said, I want to experience that. So this is what I'm going after. This is what I'm reaching for. This is what I'm pressing towards, to know his presence, to know his power. And then the third thing he says is, I also want to know his passion, that I might know him, experience him, that I would experience the power of his resurrection, and that I would experience the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. What was the fellowship of his suffering? What did he die for? What was his suffering all about? Others. Seeing fallen and broken humanity set free and made whole. And Paul is saying, I want to know his heart for others. I want to know, lay my life down for others. Now, remember he said, I want to experience him, I want to experience his power, and I want to experience his passion for others and lay my life down for them and see the power of Christ set them free and change them. He said, this is what Christ-likeness involves. You know, carrying a sense of intimacy, of his presence, carrying his passion for others, laying my life down for others, and seeing his power released in my life, conquering the power of sin in me, but released through my life, conquering the oppression of the enemy in the lives of others. So that's what I'm going after. He said, because the more I experience those things, then the more I'm experiencing the life of Christ in fullness, the resurrection life of Jesus. There's an interesting thing that Paul talked about in Colossians chapter 2 or chapter 1. He says in verse 24, he says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, for your sake. Not just for the sake of suffering, but for your sake. And in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction. What? Is there more atoning work to be done on the cross? No. But there's more laying life down. Jesus, we're now his body. And he continues to lay his life down, taking up your cross daily, continuing laying his life down for others that they might be healed and made whole. So the things that we do, like when we went out Saturday, the things we're going to do with the youth this week, why are we doing that? Why are we going to talk about going out into the streets and confronting the culture one person at a time with the gospel of the kingdom? I mean, isn't that hard to do? Isn't it embarrassing? Can't you might be rejected? Oh, yeah, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. He was shamed. He was rejected. He was humiliated. But that's his passion. So are we really going to go after that too? I mean, we kind of like the presence part. We like the power part. But we don't want the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death part. Well, then you're never really going to see his power released, except just in your own personal party. I mean, this is what the out resurrection from the dead is all about. But it's not just going to happen because in osmosis, it just is going to happen to us over time. As a matter of fact, what you discover over time, as I've mentioned before, you know, my competition as a Christian leader is not with other churches or other denominations. That's not my competition. My competition is time. My enemy's time. And then suddenly I find out, I turn around, I'm in my mid-60s, I'm thinking, wow, it makes me want to press forward more, to forget what lies behind more, to reach more, to apprehend that which I've been apprehended more, because I don't have much time. I really don't have time to lollygag. Again, quoting someone, people may say, well, why do you do this? Why are you doing that? Why are you going after this? And why is it this way? And I'm going, man, we're missing out on life. I'm going, I'm doing all that because I don't want to miss out on life. One of the good things about getting older is that there is an inertia of wisdom that you walk in. And you look back and you go, wow. It's not out of guilt, but you just look back and go, wow. And the motivation is that even though my outer man's decaying, there's a principle spiritually that if I'm going after him, my inner man's being renewed day by day, and there's still time. But I won't always be able to say that. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.